we're halfway through. It's a good point. You know, I think you're right. I don't think we have much more than a couple of weeks left on the in the succession calendar. There was a lot of people when we did the wrap up show on Sunday night. A lot of people in the chat really concerned about the SEC violations, which I think are nothing. I think they're absolutely nothing.
Am I even watching the same show as you people? Well, we got 5 episodes left, Jesse. We got to make sure we're going to tell a story about SEC violations. That's the story.
They did promise
write these episodes, and they're going to be about the SEC violations.
He always said that the first half of the show, he essentially has always depicted Succession as essentially an episode of Law and Order SVU, where the first half is the crimes, and the second half, I think we're getting full legal proceedings for the rest of the episodes, Rob.
R to the OB and Josh Wigler talking about Succession. One podcast per week, see. R to the OB and Josh Wigler talking about Succession. Podcasting like bozos, make some noise.
That's right, it's the Rob and Josh Show. I'm not Josh, I'm Grace, but we're talking about Succession Season 4, Episode 5, Kill List. And Rob, how you doing?
Grace, I am doing okay. I really do appreciate you coming out here to do this podcast so quickly after Josh Wigler died. So I really do appreciate that. But you know,
Josh yesterday, he died a few days ago.
So yeah, I mean, look, Josh was a prick, but he knew what he wanted to talk about. So we're gonna have to get past that, but. You know, I'm sure we'll be able to, figure out the rest of this deal, which just to, you know,
it's Josh's deal. I think, yeah, we can get it done. I think Josh's deal.
Yeah. But we were talking about like, you know, the unilateral acquisition of post-show recaps that he had carved out down the hatch was not going to be part of the deal. But I think we can throw that in there now, too.
Yeah, I know. I think you can take down. Honestly, I'm not even trying to tank the deal. I think you could take down the hatch. I'm not super interested in down the hatch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to just like carve it up for parts. Like, you know, it's a done podcast, but the feed is good.
It's good parts, bad brand. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, Josh would be really mad that I came on his podcast and just started slandering down the hatch. great.
Yeah,
but let's talk about I've talked about this episode a lot.
I know
my third
are you
podcast
out of takes
of the week.
Or do you get more takes as the week goes on?
You know, maybe my takes evolve. Maybe I'll just completely contradict what I said earlier in the week. Or somebody makes a good point and then I'll steal that one and I'll say, actually, you know, I think this was a really good point. I'll take all Dr. Amanda's good ideas from the deep dive. Yeah. What did you make of Kill List? We're in Norway, not Sweden. We're going to Norway for the company retreat. What'd you make of it? It's really a Madsen coming out as a big villain episode.
Sure. Yeah. I think a polarizing episode for sure, where I did see the takes about some people saying not their favorite. I would agree, not my favorite of the season, but it's still Succession. I mean, we need to like come to grips to. There's only 5 episodes left of the series, so don't be complaining about, unless you get like a total crap episode like they did on that Down the Hatch feed. I heard that there was an episode of Lost they did right at the end that was a total, very polarizing episode. Well, do you think we'll get that? Maybe like just do an episode that's like the Logan Roy like childhood backstory,
flashback,
literal backstory where we're gonna see what happened to his back, and just seeing his parents like just like berate him, and he has a newspaper route and he's like, one day I'm gonna be delivering the news.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with those, I mean, to compare it to Down the Hatch, so those network shows, I do feel like the thing about prestige TV these days is we really don't get filler episodes. And mm-hmm. so, like, I feel like the thing of, like, when Down the Hatch, when Lost would have, like, a weird episode, it was because, like, they're trying to pad it out, and they would just give a, like, a Carolina backstory episode.
Yeah.
Get,
yeah,
like, what's Carolina up to?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just to go back to my 2010 self, I think you think that people were a little pissed that it was like two episodes left, and they said, "Oh, like, let's do the whole backstory of Jacob and the Man in Black." But we're not here to talk about that. Josh Wiggler has died. We're not.
Right. Well, we're
Josh.
Josh Wiggler
is over, but we're just getting started here on the. It's now the Robin Grace show.
Yeah, I mean, we're the Man and Woman in Black because we're mourning Josh Wiggler's death.
Now, okay, Grace, who's handling the funeral arrangements for Josh? Because I heard a rumor that Mike Bloom was trying to put him in a Dharma Initiative jumpsuit. And
yeah, I do have some pics if you want.
I don't
want
to see them.
Of dead Joshua.
I don't want to see
them. But you were the one who asked Mike to send the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems highly hypocritical to say, send some pics. And then when the picks come in, you say, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just want it to look like him. That's all I want. Grace,
we did give Mike Bloom carte blanche. And we said we're not allowed to critique any of his choices he makes on Josh.
Look, we're Scooby-Dooing you. Josh Wiggler is not dead. Okay. We were trying to trick you the whole time. You just got Scooby-Dooed. We went to the Hanna-Barbera School of Podcasting. Josh Wiggler is not dead. Okay. People were probably like tweets like condolences, RIP. You know, people are so quick to do that, Grace.
Emily Fox probably getting inundated with phone calls and text messages.
People were already sending in offers for their home. The people were wanted to know if she was selling or what, you know. So we just got Scooby-Doo'd you. Do you think, Grace, was that some real like deep cut like HBO Max / Max like just like synergy of Scooby-Doo, of course, one of the very valued properties over at Max?
Is it? I don't know.
WB.
I always feel like I guess that makes sense. I always feel a little out of the loop because in Canada we don't have Max. We don't have HBO. We get Crave plus HBO. That's what you get in Canada. So I always feel this whole Max thing doesn't matter to me. It doesn't affect my life at all. This whole Max thing. But yeah, there's some. Should they keep doing that? Of like, if Success is the final season of Succession, they should probably be investing in some of these other HBO.
Like, what do you want me to be properties? Like some Harry Potter and just wave my magic wand and send you to Hogwarts? Is that what you want, Tom?
Yeah, this is perfect. Yeah,
get a bunch of references in. Grace, so let me. I want to bring something up that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people have talked about, you know, this was a big Shiv episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shiv comes out on top. And I do love this about Succession of whoever's down, just like clockwork, like they'll be up eventually. So, like, don't count out
stock.
Any of the siblings. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's always somebody's up, somebody's down. But then, you know, come back three episodes later and flip it around. And then, so this was a big Shiv week. But I guess my question that I, after watching the episode this morning again, was, you know, did Shiv play Kendall and Roman, or is it possible did Madsen play Shiv?
Yeah, this is the thing that, you know, the last image of this episode is Shiv with the grin. They love this. They love the close up of one of the Roys. And then are they smiling? They're smiling, but not a huge smile, just a little smile. They've done
Mona
this with
Lisa
Logan.
Smile.
And Kendall and now Shiv. And yeah, it does feel like she gets a big win. It does feel like, yeah, maybe she's wrapped Madsen around her finger, but I don't know entirely what she gets out of this other than the satisfaction of besting her siblings and being the one to basically get the money out of the deal. But she doesn't even get the recognition of having done that because everyone's toasting the boys. I think this is just like getting into bed with a a very strange individual, as we're
very strange individual. And so then another question I have, and you know, that's the great thing about Succession, where it's so deep. And you know, I did make some parallels, you know, in most of my other podcasting about Survivor, you know, we have like, you know, knowledge is power, and we get into a lot of like, who knows what's fake, what's real, who knows what has what. And so it's very hard to decipher, like Succession in that way, of like, okay, who is doing what for what reason, why did they say that? And we have to like sometimes like assign agency to people who actually it turned out that they didn't really know that. But going back to Shiv on a couple of occasions notes like, boy, you see all this bad press about Dad, and Kendall's like, all right, hey Hugo, get in here, look, you know, remember rat effer Sam, I believe is the character that was from Boar on the Floor, right, Grace? I know you went
I
love the callback to rat effer Sam. And okay, you know what to do, Hugo. And then Kendall moves on. And then Shiv a second time, after we see Kendall puts cousin Greg in charge, gives him a quad squad assignment of like, all right, run some bad press. You know, things are going bad. Again, I don't think Greg is the guy that I would put in charge of that clandestine operation. No.
We never, I feel like the show has really like given us a lot of questions that they actually haven't answered in terms of like who leaked Logan dying, but I'm still on Team Greg leaked.
I don't think he leaked it on purpose. I think he's just an idiot that he let it slip out. But then Shiv is like, hey, you see this? What's going on? What's going on with this? Did Shiv put together that Kendall and Roman are trying to tank the deal?
I think it's very fair because Mattson also realizes, I mean, he calls them Scooby-Doos. It's so obvious what they're doing, especially playing the movie and then the conversation later. I think that's a very good point. The other piece, I think, that just alludes a little bit to just how much Shiv is on the outs and is starting to realize it and sort of wants to do something out on her own is the Mencken stuff, where Jared Mencken has a line to ATN with Sid. And when he asks Roman, she asks Roman, Roman says, no, I didn't know. And then says, oh, whatever, it's a good deal. Like, we're scratching each other's back. So clearly he knows that's happening, and Shiv is on the out.
That's dare.
That's a very direct, like, okay, now Shiv knows that Roman is in on something that she's not in on. But I think these other two, you know, the news leaks, I think is a really good point that you have to think Shiv knows. Cause I said that, on the deep dive with Dr. Matt, I said, oh, isn't it weird that that's the only thing that comes up about the big stinger at the end of episode four is Kendall's going to, you know, sort of after he looks at the cross out on the underline, he's going to go and get Hugo to freelance and start, you know, smearing his dad. And then that's all that really comes up. But I think it's a good point to think that, like, yeah, Shiv's the one who keeps pointing out, like, look at all this stuff that's happening out there. And clearly it has to be one of them.
It's interesting because Roman was in that conversation with Hugo, and Roman's like, how about you never bring this up again? But then it's happening. And you would think that Roman would be the one to be like, hey, didn't we say we're not going to do this? Like, WTF. It doesn't really seem to like be even on Roman's radar at all, even though it's spoken about in front of him. It's Shiv who I think is like starting, like, I think she's seen insufferable Kendall before. And I think that she's like very keenly aware, like, oh no, he likes this. This is what he always wanted. He doesn't want to let this go. And I do wish that we would have gotten to see more conversation between Shiv and Mattson, and just in exactly like how much did she say, okay, get the offer to this. That is that the board won't be able to say no to that. It's like a poison pill. Yeah. That they're going to have to accept. And then also, like, here are the people you're going to want to, you're going to want to keep. You know, it's interesting that she describes it to Tom as the great escape. And I just like, I'm interested to know, like, what does this look like? Because, you know, Tom, who is at ATN, you know, is going to, in the short term, have more power, but ultimately ATN is going to be like, I would think that Tom is not going to be at ATN for long. So I don't know, like, long term, like, what does this all look like?
Yeah, Yeah, the Tom stuff is really, in terms of, yeah, she does say it's the great escape. And is that because at the beginning of the episode, Greg goes to Tom and Tom says, I'm not worried about, you know, the Swedes. I'm worried about the family, the Roys. But I think, you know, interestingly, by the end of this episode, yeah, ATN is in the deal, but the brothers, who interestingly, these are the two people who Tom went and said, I'm at your service. I would like to serve you. They're not involved. There's nothing for them in ATN.
I live to serve.
So there's nothing, you know, the bros aren't a part of ATN or Waystar Royco. Seems like Shiv certainly could be. It feels like where that might be going a little bit, if like she has Mattson's ear.
Yeah.
Does she have a role in Waystar Royco? And therefore it does seem like she's maybe keen on keeping Tom around. We talked a lot on the deep dive. Is this because, you know, is she hungry with power and she's always been able to influence Tom and she's trying to like regain that status over Tom? Is it just because, not just because, but Tom is the father of the baby that she's going to have and she wants to have a good relationship with the father of the baby, even set up Tom to have a great job so the baby is financially secure?
I don't know. That these motherly instincts are sort of like what Shiv is going for. I just think that Shiv does not really have a ton of allies right now. I think that she feels like she is being like frozen out by the brothers. I think that she sees like, okay, I can pick up sort of like these pieces like from the board, not board, like board games, but like like the Carolina and the Jerry's of the world. I also think it's interesting to watch that. I do feel like that, you know, it was in the season three finale that, you know, Greg and Tom, like their relationship was like a little bit compared to like a marriage, that I forget the exact analogy that Tom had made about.
Is it Nero?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like that the Greg Forrest. And Tom, at the same time that Tom might have a potentially rekindled relationship with Shiv, I think that the Greg and Tom divorce is happening.
Big time agree. I think, Rob, you're getting, do you know you're getting a lot of praise around the internet for your very early read
of how
terrible Greg is?
Greg sucks. Yeah.
Greg sucks. I mean,
look.
This is also to do some Nicholas Braun rumors, allegations out there.
Honestly, I don't know anything. I can't speak to that. I don't know anything about that. I think that Greg is like a total mooch who I have not found him to be as charming as many others have found him.
I think the charm is, you know, the blooms off the road, the Mike blooms off the rose here, I think, in season
four. Oh my God.
Speaking of Mike Bloom, send me another picture. You want to see another picture of dead Joshua? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, whether or not it's anything to do with what's outside of the show, or this is just the natural progression of anybody who accumulates more power, that the higher up you get, the worse of a person you are, and you're less potentially charming. Although the magic trick of the show has always been that, like, Roman, who literally like says in this episode, yeah, there's a backdoor deal to get the fascist elected. We're like, wow, I feel so bad. He's like grieving over his dead father. So that's the magic trick of the show. But something about Greg, and I actually noted on the deep dive that I think there's a very interesting shift this season of the comic relief of this show shifting primarily from Greg and Tom. We still get a smattering of them, but really to the Carl and Frank and Jerry contingent really have become the full comic relief of the show. But about the divorce, I think it's salient. I think that Tom and Greg, I mean, the thing about Greg has always been that, I mean, in episode one, I always point this out, he tells Logan he can try to get his grandfather removed from the board. He says in episode one, and that Greg would take his seat. So he's always like tried to play everybody against everybody. So it makes it, in this episode, he's going back and forth between the Quad Squad. He does. And when he gets called in to be a blood sacrifice for Tom, when Tom,
for Mattson.
No, he doesn't need a blood sacrifice. He uses his own blood. Tom sits at the table with Mattson and that group. And when he calls Greg over to essentially, like, you know, Tom doesn't want to be at the bottom of the hierarchy. He needs somebody to come over. Greg does not like being made fun of in this moment. So I do think the Tom and Greg relationship is rocky at best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I hope France is going to be okay.
Well, you're an American. You don't care about France, right? You have your own parents,
I hope they make it.
Well, you know.
You know?
Yeah, me too. But yeah, you don't count out the old baguette.
Yeah, I won't. I didn't know it was that close. So
I definitely thought this was where he was gonna like the World Cup or something. Like, you think France is gonna make it, but then no, full on like, is France as a country, as an institution, will it make it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that was well. I love the storyline about Calispatron.
Yeah, the movie. We're going to be covering it on Post Recaps Theaters. Dr.
Yeah.
Kindly
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Grace, do we get the full plot of Calispatron? Because I feel like that maybe ChatGPT could help us flesh out the rest of. It's about a hibernating robot.
A hibernating robot, I believe. Yeah. The big one. They're counting on it. It's the big one. It has to be, he says. But I don't think we get very many plot details.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do we know? That the Calispatron is a hibernating robot that gets awakened and then does what?
What's the movie? It's just called Calispatron, right? The movie? Calispatron's Revenge? Is it the movie? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so is the robot from like an ancient civilization? Like, why does it need to be hibernating?
You know, this show, people often talk about how the show is a Greek tragedy. Calispatron definitely seems, I mean, some hybrid of a robot and some Greek, you know, Greek god. Is Calypso, that would be, right? So who's Calypso?
Are you asking me or you're about to tell me?
No. I'm like asking you to buy time while I can Google it, basically. Mm-hmm. From Homer's Odyssey, apparently.
Yes, okay. And then
a nymph, a female deity.
It's a woman. Robot.
Yeah, I guess. Who detained Odysseus for 7 years. She promised immortality if he would stay with her, but he preferred to return home. So is that what she offered immortality, they left, and then she's going to come back.
It's hibernating for 7 years, maybe.
Hibernating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then emerges from there. So I did love that Kendall knows that the movie is terrible. They're going to screen the movie for 3 hours. Nothing like a long ass movie to really, you know, get these people thinking twice about this deal.
I do love Jess just being given all of this responsibility, like all the time. I feel like we were talking about Carolina and Jess have been around since the very beginning. She does do it. She does get a 4K TV set up so that they can watch Calispatron's Revenge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do think that there is like maybe a theme of that behind, you know, every like fumbling like man executive at this company, that there is there are several like capable women like keeping the ships running on time.
Isn't that what Shiv brings along, the women plus Tom? At the end of
but
the
I
episode.
Don't include Shiv in that category.
Well, no, but she needs.
She's
the
not
capable,
a serious person.
But she needs the capable people to help run the ship.
She might recognize it, whereas like the boys club do not. But she is not in that ilk of like you know, smart women, business people that are, you know, running. Carrie is not in that. they have to be people who are like women who are not like romantically like entangled with any of the people.
Right. Just business women. Carolina and
women.
Jerry.
Business women. Yeah. Not women who are dating anybody.
Yeah. Like Rhea Jarrell, certainly her reputation takes a hit once she starts with Logan. So yeah, I think that tracks once you're romantically involved. It's no good.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get, you know, don't mix business and pleasure at Waystar Royco. Yeah.
Did you miss Carrie in this episode? First non-Carrie episode of the season. Did you miss her? Should she have come to Norway?
Well, she was all over Twitter this week. So she I feel like we got her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some vacancies at Fox News that people thought Carrie might be able to fill.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
That was fun. Funny. A lot of there's a podcast I listen to where they do you know, everybody makes the same Twitter joke, and I did see multiple versions of that same joke, which
it was everywhere. It was everywhere. Yeah. But nobody tried to fill Don Lemon's job.
No.
Not at all. But with let's see, I have like I, you know, I take all these notes as I'm watching the show. Mm-hmm. And
well, I was gonna say, so we talked about that Shiv ends up getting Carolina and Jerry. They're not on the kill list. Yes. And I talked about this, the comedic relief shifting from sort of Greg and Tom mostly to Frank and Carl, even Hugo. What did you make of like the underlings down below while the Roys are all and Frank and Carl and Jerry are up top? What'd you mm-hmm. make of this like Hunger Games style? Am I gonna
like
make it on the kill list?
Doppelganger.
Meaning they're doppelgangers, yeah.
I thought it was fun. I didn't really like need to see too much more of like what was going on with Hugo and like his counterpart for that was almost really great.
I didn't get so part of me. So Hugo goes over and he learns in the car that this guy he competed at the Olympics, and then he does his own research and learns that this man, he blew it. He came in fourth place. And so when he goes to talk to him, the purpose of these conversations when they're like having breakfast is to like spook the other person. Is this the point when he says, you know, you lost those darn tenths of a second, like that was almost a big deal? Is he trying to like be like, I know I've got something on you, I know that you're not as great as, because then when he walks away he's like, that guy was a dick. What is the point? What was Hugo trying to do when he's like telling this guy that he knows he didn't win bronze at Sochi?
I don't know if there was anything that they're trying to do. Like, I think the idea of like doing this sort of like corporate retreat is to sort of like, okay, like meet the person on Madsen's team that does your job. And so you're sort of like looking at like the mirror and ultimately like the idea of a merger is that, okay, we don't need both of you, you know, one person is going to do, and we'll probably end up picking like who is the best person who will end up, I don't need to explain mergers to the audience, but I you're not making the pick. Like, it's not like, so it's right. Like you're just meeting the sizing up the competition. I just think it's like human nature that,
and maybe trying to like get him off his game so he doesn't do his job well at the retreat, and then Hugo looks like
I don't even think it's
top.
That calculated. I just think it's like meet the like you're supposed to be like talking about like what you know will like need to be done, and like as the two companies come together. And I think it's just like I don't sense that much like animosity coming from Matt's inside.
Yeah. So I know you said you didn't need to see much more of it, but I do have some news from mm-hmm. the Vanity Fair Succession podcast. Shout out to Josh Wigler, works at Vanity Fair. J. Smith Cameron said there was an entire B plot that got filmed but cut. That was a Hunger Games style competition between the Waystar and Gojo executives, featuring a variety of competitive activities.
I did see them doing axe throwing, which seemed pretty dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're at like a resort. I spent a lot of time at summer camp, I imagine.
Yes.
Like, you're not missing the like Frank and Carl being doing a three-legged race and like a potato sack race. You're not missing any of this. You don't need it.
The only thing I would have liked to have seen more on was sauna time.
Yeah, we did get just one scene of Carl and Frank outside saying that they look like Peking duck in the sauna.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like a nudity reference or what, where it's Carl's like, you say, hanging in the window like Peking duck.
I think it's just like, yeah, so there's restaurants where they have like the duck hanging out front and they're just mm-hmm. you know, they're dead meat in there, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so. Was that a reference to dead meat of like the people that don't even know that they're already been fired?
I mean, I guess, but then I guess the ducks have to know that they're dead by the time they're in the window. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Would you have liked to have gone to a place like this, Grace?
I would have loved to go into a place like this.
Looks very cold. I would not have loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Get me out of there.
I mean, it did look chilly and cool, but I was a summer camp person. Although this looks, mm-hmm. More like, we're in fall? Yeah, late fall camp. No, I would have loved this. This place looked beautiful and many activities to do. I would go in the sauna. It'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know you all were talking about this a little bit on the podcast, but yeah, I did love the like nobody can actually say like, wow, this place is breathtaking. I would not have enjoyed it, but they're all like, yeah, it's fine. I guess it's fine. Whatever. It's okay. I mean, it's like it's not that great, but I mean, it kind of is. But
yeah, Matt said it's like, yeah, awesome. It's good shit, but like also it's like pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, he has to defend that it's actually, like, the fact that they're not impressed, the fact that Kendall and Roman are not impressed with, like, the luxury of Mattson's wealth and where he's having his company retreat. It's just like, it's pretty, I guess it's pretty cool, though, you know? It's very funny. It's all very, there's a lot of, like, you know, middle school tension in this episode. Sure. Between this, the way just, like, they're all talking, the Kendall, Roman, and Mattson are all talking to each other, the way Shiv and Tom are teasing each other about their earlobes and their white shoes. <Meaty. laughs>
Like barnacles.
Like barnacle meat. Yeah.
So I don't know if this is like a hot take. Like, I know a lot of people dislike Mattson, but I dislike him. Like I don't love to hate him. I just think he's annoying. And I don't like Mattson on the show.
At all. You don't do the whole Mattson storyline not working for you.
But if Mattson is just completely off camera the whole rest of the show, I'd be fine with it. With all due respect to,
he's a guest star. Is he a recurring star? I don't know.
I thought he was in the cast.
Maybe he's in the cast now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think especially with the Shiv stuff, I don't think we're getting the end of
Skarsgård on True Blood. Like, I thought he was the best character on that show. But in terms of like him on this show, it's just like he's like so indifferent and like you know, I just like don't, I haven't enjoyed the times he's been around on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it is,
he's
it
one
is
of my least favorite Succession characters, and not in like, oh, like, because there's people that like I would not want to spend time with that I enjoy watching on the show, but he is not in that category.
I mean, and he really comes out pretty, you know, he's a big villain this episode, I think, in terms of not just the way he's sort of treating the negotiation. And I think Kendall points out, like, he's just doing this because it's an emotive issue. Like, he wants ATN, it seems like, more because their dad wanted it. Than anything.
I don't know what he wants, and I don't care what he wants.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I do think I enjoy Mattson. I thought Amanda brought up this really interesting point this week, that the show, I think, in its final season, with Logan, two episodes now, with Logan having died, and this is where I said I'm going to take other people's thoughts and make them my own this week. The without Logan, there was a sense that with the kids, I do feel like, while they are full adults and they have to own up to their own actions and they're all bad people, there was a little bit of like, when Logan was around, you had this, like, okay, well, maybe I do feel bad because like Logan is so awful to them and they all want their father's love. And that's what this whole thing is about. And in the absence of Logan, although I don't think Logan is totally absent from the show, we hear Roman saying dad's deal all episode, like they're all very much still influenced by what Logan would or wouldn't do. Even Mattson, he's telling Shiv, like, I like you, you're like your dad. But there is, I think, as we're coming to the end, I think a meanness to the show. I posited that like potentially this is because we got a little bit of like the kids coming together at the end of season three, and that was really exciting. And then I think people thought it would fall apart immediately, and it did fall apart immediately, which I think gave us hope that maybe they could work together. And now, as they're not being able to work together, it's kind of like annoying that they're not able to work together, even if that's what the show has been the whole time. And then with the absence of Logan, it's like, I don't know, it's harder to like empathize with all of them.
They're building up, like, you know, Mattson has to be like an antagonist for them to like work off of, to, you know, maintain like their sort of like any sort of likability. But I just, you know, it's not hitting for me. I haven't found that the characters are so much meaner now than they were pre-Logan, but there was like some camaraderie, and maybe they were sort of like always like still like mean to like sort of like the like Franks and Jerrys of the world, and so not necessarily like to each other as much.
Yeah I think it's that they had come together, and now that they're not coming together, people are disappointed that they're not gonna work together. Like, this is the first, I mean, they've all betrayed each other.
I hate to break it to everybody, but
it's always been the show. I know. I've always said, I just want at the end of this thing for Kendall to be content. Like, I don't need him to like being running anything. I just need him to mm-hmm. be, I need him to have that little smile, but it's because he's like, yeah, I don't need to do any of this. You know?
Yeah. I think that that's interesting to talk about in terms of Kendall, where, you know, we did get sort of like, okay, well, this was like the prophecy of like the beginning of the show where we got to finally see him like in his element.
And it's a complete callback, right? With the very first scene sure. is Kendall listening to hip hop. He is singing. And I said this on the deep that like there is he's so arrogant in that first scene. Whereas in this one, it's still a little bit there, like he's listening to the hip hop, but he's not like singing along to it. And he's a little bit more serious, I think. I think he's like, yeah, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Is Kendall good at this job?
I mean, so the interesting thing about the way that the deal goes through, and you know, all of us last week were like, wow, the deal's definitely not going through, huh? Like, there's no way that deal's gonna mm-hmm. go through. Matheson's gonna walk, Kendall's gonna tank it, whatever. The thing is that they did just make a lot of money. And they can go do, I really didn't think Pierce would be a thing, which it still doesn't have to be a thing, but they seemingly now have way like enough money to go and finish the Pierce deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like in this that Kendall has potentially the best business read of all of them. I think that I do think that Kendall his points about Mattson not understanding the business, I do think are probably right, in the sense that I think Kendall has a better sense for how to maybe run Waystar Royco, but they just made a huge business deal. So it's like, it's a weird like thing where it's like they lost, but they also won.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what are the like skill sets you need to be good at running like this, like huge, like media conglomerate. I don't know. Like, I think
they're not the same to run RHAP.
It's not the same. We only have one division, really, the podcast division. So I think you can run like one division. But you know, I do feel like that we did see back in like the season one stuff, and we have a much better handle on this than me, when you know, that there is the woman that Kendall wants to invest in her business. What is she doing? She has like a shoe business.
Yeah. I think they're art people, I think. The reason you're thinking shoe is because he brings his cool shoes and he asks if he's being douchey and he puts his feet up on the table.
And so like I feel like he kind of like knows, like he can play the part, much like Jeremy Strong does with Kendall. But I think he knows like what he's supposed to do, and I think that he has like this pressure of like, okay, this is my destiny. And it's interesting that he said that he was really feeling the force in this episode. I do wonder, like, there is like a little bit of like, you know, fathers and sons, certainly in Star Wars. And you know, I think Kendall like knows what it's supposed to sound like. He knows what it's supposed to be. But there was the moment, and I know I'm all over the place, where you know, Kendall talked about like, you know, it's gonna be like walking across a razor blade tightrope. And then Kendall's like, why are you smiling? Like, why are you like, why are you like this? And I do think he gets a rush out of like the, you know, it's going to be a tough mission. But I just feel like that can running this company sustain Kendall if he's not taking like extraordinary risks?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like, I mean, there's lots of people who are like actually running the thing is maybe not what is the most like. Kendall talked about wanting something that's absorbing. And I feel like the things that like are the most absorbing to him is this, like, yeah, it's like whether it could, you know, he could win or he can lose. And that's not so much the case when you're just doing the day to day, you know, operations of Waystar Royco. Like we see at the beginning and he says, you know, we're death wrestling with ogres here. She's like, no, you're just reading documents. Like you're just doing boring work, which is not as fun for Kendall as like, yeah, let's see if we can get, you know, can we tank the deal and come away with this thing and try to like get one over on Mattson with the thing of knowing that you need to make him walk away. You know, that's the Scooby-Doo of it all, is that like he could just go to the board, which he does, and just offers 192. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, you know, I think Kendall loves the moments of like conflict, honestly. Like that's what he gets the most absorbed in. It feels like he's like fighting for something. That's where he like becomes self-righteous Ken, rather than just like the boring day-to-day operations of running Waste our Roy Cow.
Yeah, because it's a lot of administration, which is not necessarily fun. And Kendall, I don't think really has like a vision. And I think it's going to be very interesting to set up for next week, where in the previews, it does seem like that there's like some sort of like upfront or like investor conference that's going to go on where Kendall is going to be taking the stage.
And what are they doing? What's their next venture, Rob? What are they doing? What's Kendall do next?
It seems like it's going to be in the next episode or in general.
No, in general, what should he be doing? What should he be doing with all this money? They're going to buy Pierce, I guess. But what
they
should
all
be doing?
Should just leave. They all should just go have nice lives
and do
they
what?
Can't because they're broken people. I don't know. But they just do any. Just like sit on a beach somewhere.
Oh yeah, they don't work. Just take your money for a while and just relax. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think I think that this show is probably a good indictment of you can't just sit and be rich and ultimately if we toil through our lives and think about that would be the dream just to have money and not to have FU money and not have to do anything.
This is basically pre-election, pre-running for president Connor. He's kind of doing nothing, right? He doesn't really do anything. He just kind of invests his money, lives on a ranch, and he seems miserable. So, yeah.
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 And you have to have things that you're working towards, and certainly in the case of the Roy children, the quest for power and respect does not really seem to be a fulfilling desire. But they could take all that money and they could do any number of things, many of which would be very helpful to the rest of humankind.
I don't know. They're interested in the rest of humankind.
No, Rob. They're not. Maybe that could also be fulfilling work.
I was saying this, that there's literally only one job that they have all ever wanted. And it, very interestingly, next episode would be the first episode where that job essentially doesn't exist, which is the CEO of Waystar Royco. It's the only job any of them have ever wanted. That's when Shiv gets named by Logan, and even Tom is like, oh, interesting. That's what I thought I was going to do. And you would be it's literally the only one they all want. And now that job, Rob, for the first time ever, does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be, very exciting to see what they have to do next, because it seems like Kendall's giving a big speech. He's ordering a house to be built on a stage. And Ken is here and I'm here for it.
He's going to be really rich. Next episode. So yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let me see. How about, what do we think Logan looked like in the picture? What do you think they did to him? Did they shave his goatee?
Oh, do you think he shaved his goatee?
I think so.
Wow. Connor did want carte blanche. He wanted to throw his weight around in the embalming room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had to do that? You ever had to throw your weight around in the embalming room?
No. I have not had to do that. I feel like you find the right person, you put your trust in them, and then. That's a tough job. Maybe 6 feet under rewatch is going to be overdue at show recaps.
Yeah. Well, they said they were going to get Reagan off the racks, right? Isn't that what Kendall says they're going to do? Ronald Reagan off the racks.
Do Reagan's funeral off the rack. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think Reagan was in a kilt. Correct me if I'm wrong, but.
I don't believe so. Yeah. So, I mean. Was Marcia pushing for this?
So Marcia was pushing for a Logan to be in a kilt, which, I mean, he's Scottish, right? He's originally from Scotland, immigrated to Canada as a young boy. That seems fine. So why can't he be in a kilt? What's wrong with the kilt?
Well, it really depends on, is it if it's typically, I feel like these open casket funerals, the casket's only half open.
Half open.
Every funeral you've ever been to, the person could be in a kilt. You wouldn't even know.
That's true. Is it just that the idea that he's going to be in a kilt forever? Like he's going to be buried in a kilt. So that's the problem for Connor.
Yeah.
his legacy.
I just
people
feel like
learn.
That that to have Logan Roy in a kilt, like I do feel like that he is like I do has a reputation of being like, oh, that he was like a true American. And I do think that that sort of like goes in a different direction of like his Scottish ancestry more than he was like an American in a suit. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I can see it from Connor's point of view. I don't say that often, but I can see it from Connor's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I do think that I hope we I don't know if we want to see the funeral or not. I've been gone back and forth.
So I mean you and Josh typically look at next week's episode title.
Yeah.
There are I believe there's three episode titles that have been released as of this point. The final two have not been named. But next week's episode is Living Plus, Rob.
Living Plus. Yeah, well, it does sound like that is like what they're doing. Like they're having like some sort of a launch for Living Plus. So I don't know if that's going to be like some sort of like Waystar Royco like streaming app. Living Plus. Yeah, I like that's what I get the sense that it is.
That sounds like. You know, like the
this is going to be all of our divisions, news, entertainment, family.
It seems like the name implies to me like home reno shows and like gardening shows and cooking shows, you know, like Living Plus.
Well, like, maybe this is very much like the, you know, the Max idea of, okay, we're going to combine HBO and then also the like HGTV of it all. And put that all into one app. And I think that Kendall is going to be potentially like giving some sort of a speech to launch it.
Yeah. So it does. I mean, Josh Wiggler advised us all on the Discord this week. We have to be done with the timeline. I think we have to just like throw everything out in terms of that. We thought everything was going to be a single day per episode. But in this episode, we seemingly skip a day and then span 2 days. So we've gone. Because they talk about the stock markets opening back up and the stock bouncing up 10% on the Monday and they stay overnight on the Tuesday. Because we all thought the Tuesday was the election. So unless, and then the idea is like, is the election not on a Tuesday in succession world?
Yeah.
Or is it a full week to go until the election?
I mean, Jesse Armstrong, he's not American. He doesn't know exactly how it works here.
I'm Canadian. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Don't get too like in the weeds about it.
Yeah. I mean, I do think to a degree I was, you know, earlier we were talking about you're talking about you would have liked to see more with Shiv and Madsen. And I've been saying this thing as I was doing the rewatch. I feel like the way that this show operates is to be very cards on the table until the finale. So basically anything that happens, it's not a super mystery box show, right? In the sense that like there are these, basically if something happens, we typically see how it happened until the finale, in which case they sort of hide some information to then surprise us, right? So in a typical episode, if season one finale was earlier in the season, we probably like Kendall, see someone see Kendall. Like Amir sees Kendall, right? When he crashes his car. But in the season one finale at the end, they pull Kendall into the room and Logan says, like, listen, we know that you know, you got in the accident and you killed these people. Mm-hmm. I'm interested this season in terms of like now that they're in the final season, how much are they going to hide some of their cards? I do feel like when you talk about like the Shiv and Madsen stuff, I do think that we get most of the stuff you were looking for in terms of it's not super like you need to keep Jerry and Carolina on, but he says like, you know, Jerry could handle this, Carolina's great, you know, and essentially she goes and runs that. The one conversation we don't see between Shiv and Madsen is, does she tell him to keep on Tom, which we don't get any indication.
And I think we should assume that she did. I guess my question is like, does she know that the brothers are trying to Scooby-Doo this thing? Like, and does she pass that information along to Madsen and basically like gives him the info to like get around them?
Yeah. So like, I think in maybe a previous season, we would have got one more Matt's and Shiv's scene, but then the way in this final season, they can be a little trickier because I feel like for most of it, we can trust what we see on the show, but now that they're in the final season, they can play a little bit more of the twist. And essentially, the point, it seems like a really odd tangent for me to go on, but the point I was making is that because it's not a mystery box show, I think people are like looking for things to figure out. And that's why I think people are so obsessed with the calendar is like, it's a thing you can try to figure out and map out in between the weeks of Succession. But I think Josh is right. I think like Jesse Armstrong, I don't think cares. He said, making TV is really hard and you just have to make it. And I'm really worried about the timeline.
I'm going to talk to the people that are thinking too much about the calendar. Like, you're doing it wrong. You are not getting, you know, what the show wants you to get. You know, you're overdoing it. And so, you know, at the expense of sounding like, you know, Jeff Probst talking to the Survivor fans, like we're having fun, you know.
Yeah, the juice of the show is like she was smiling at the end of the episode.
We're having dangerous fun with the Roys. Yeah. That's
like, 5 years from now, we're not going to be like, remember when Shiv screwed over her brothers on a Tuesday? Remember that? Mm-hmm. That was good.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Even, you know, Nicole was asking me, like, did Roman have a kid in the first season? I'm like, I don't know. Like, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. And the interesting thing about the pilot is that the pilot was shot way ahead of the rest of the season. And they definitely went back and tweaked some things. So, but they never, I think that the way they then re-edited it, so they couldn't edit out the kids from episode one, but they could edit out that, like, they're his kids. So it seems like, yes, the way it was written was that Roman had a wife and kids, and then essentially they retcon it to be like they're his like stepkids. He's like with this girl and whatever, and they just retcon it out.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's so much better that Roman doesn't have kids, right? He's
sure
better.
For sure. Yeah. They figured it out. And they realized that like, oh yeah, we need more time. And in the first episode we said we thought we had lines of dialogue that like you know, screwed things up. But anyway, I did think that also Shiv, we got to kind of see like her superpowers, which kind of were forgotten. I feel like that she's very good in sort of like these like after hours conversations where, you know, all the Roy children, like they all have their own like superpowers. And, you know, she's, you know, very good in that, you know, Madsen is like partaking in several like illicit activities. And I think that she is like where... she's like, I even think like, you know, she's more likely to be the person like to just like hold the drink for a long time, like let the other person like overindulge, like she's fiddling with the narcotics, the snow on the mountain. And she's like letting him, like, I think she's like being like very like cagey and doing like a really good job of like letting him open up.
He says, like, I have no boundaries. And she's like, okay, cool. Go ahead. Go on.
Yeah.
Cross the boundary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree. I think that this has been, I, in terms of what they're all really good at, I do think, as I said before, I think Kendall does have probably the best business read. And that's just because he has been the most senior business person, right?
Yes.
I think Roman, I don't know. Roman's the most like his father. I think he's the most obsessed with the Roy legacy, which I think for as much as we can criticize how Logan treats his children, he says in an interview, Brian Cox says all the time, like his fatal flaw is that he loves his children and he keeps, even if they're not serious people or they're not good at business, he always has like he always had a drive to want to see one of them succeed. He just didn't know how to make that happen.
Yeah.
And then I think Shiv.
Well, yeah, can I add to Roman? I also think that, like, I think creatively, I do think that he has, like, the, like, creative vision. I think of the three of them, I think that he does, like, have a sense of, like, what the public has a taste for and, like, what is viable, what will work, and what won't work.
Even if it's disgusting. In the same way Logan did, right? Like, Logan knows what, like, people want from their, like, essentially, like, their Fox News.
Like, Kendall doesn't know what people want. He's, like, pitching, like, a... what about a show about what's happening in Africa? I would watch that. Like Kendall doesn't know. Kendall is just like a BSer. Like he knows like how things are supposed to sound. But Roman, I think, does actually know what there is an appetite for.
He tags Mencken, right? Like, it's not like as awful as that is. He also knows, like, the equivalency is that, like, yeah, Donald Trump got elected. Mencken's going to get elected here. Like, there's an appetite of that.
I mean, I don't even know who's he's running against other than Connor.
Jimenez. Yeah. Tom says Jimenez might be dancing across the Delaware, but this time next week.
Jimenez been on, no. Is he an on-screen character? Yeah, no. So I can't imagine that we're going to see.
They keep
that.
Teasing Mencken. He was teased last week, right? And then he didn't show up.
Yeah,
the he's definitely stuff, in the show.
I have to be honest. I feel like it is like a little bit like shoehorned in there. Like, I feel like it's not a part of the show. Like, you know, I've already got like a whole stupid like political intrigue around like who's running for president and who's going to be the next president. Like, and I'm inundated with this nonstop. I didn't come to Succession for this. And it just I really feel like that episode where Mencken like came to prominence in season 3, like I just felt like that seemed like that was an episode of a completely different show, and just felt like shoehorned in there. So the election stuff, I really feel like it's just like I feel like, oh, it's, you know, scintillating and it's salacious of who's going to be the next president, but I'm like, I already get so much of this.
I'm
tired.
I mean, I'm Canadian and I'm tired of it down there. Mm-hmm. I think I agree.
I mean, this is almost like 10 years of like nonstop election coverage.
It's very true. Yeah. I agree. I think that they painted themselves in a corner to a degree. I think they really liked the idea that Logan Roy could pick the president. I think they really liked that as an mm-hmm. idea for an episode, and kind of like a bottle-ish episode of like them going to this thing where they, you know, all of these Republican people pick who's the president. They really liked that idea. Mm-hmm. They liked the idea of like a Mencken type to, you know, be a comp to sort of the sentiment of Donald Trump. And then they did it. And then they're like, well, I guess we probably, like, that probably shouldn't just be left nowhere. Like, the thing I was going to say earlier that I think, you know, Succession also does. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. You finish.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that I think Succession does that's really interesting in terms of every week we come on and we're like theorizing, you know, third podcast of the week, theorizing about these things that happen in the episode and like, you know, what does that mean? Why did they do that? Whatever. And then the next episode, like the PR stuff, like it barely comes up. But the thing mm-hmm. Succession is really good at, I don't think that they purposely plan to have everything always be wrapped up. What they're really good is that they know it's in, like, they know what they left on the table, and that at any moment, like something from like two seasons ago, like, so the photo with Jared Mencken that Shiv takes, I think could come up. Amanda asked, like, does the photo that that Shiv took of the brothers, like, does that end up on social media at some point? And, like, I don't think that's happening next episode. Yeah.
Remind me again,
that, like,
what happened with the photo?
Shiv, when they decide that they're going to pick Mencken, and then they come downstairs and the Roy are going to take a picture with Mencken. And she says, I'm not getting in the picture. And Logan says, are you in or are you out? And she says, okay, fine, but I'm not standing next to Mencken. She has these really strong principles. She's like, I'm not going to take a picture with the fascist. And then she takes the picture of the fascist, but she doesn't stand next to the fascist.
Yeah.
Rob. So it's just like a thing on the table that I think, like, the show, they might never use, this might never come up again, but they leave all of these little things that, like, could become important later, right?
Yeah, I guess I kind of feel like that from episode to episode, like, a thing is important, but just because something was important, like going back to like the PGN, like, okay, that was the thing in the first episode of the season, and it's barely come up since then. Like, you kind of, oh, the whole season's probably going to be about this. And it's just like, I feel like that it's almost like in some ways, like, it's a very serialized show, but it's also like every episode is a little bit of a bottle episode of like the things that are like super important in the one episode may not even come up again.
I agree, but I think what I'm saying is I totally agree with that. I think what's fun is that, like, there are little things that get dropped. So in season 2, Jerry mentions that the Roy boys got somebody tattooed, like Kendall's name tattooed on the head. And that's mm-hmm. like, it's like she did some digging on Roman. And then in season 3, we meet the guy who got that. So, like, I feel like they don't always put stuff in to be like, you are going to get an answer to this. This is going to be resolved. This is going to be really important. What they're really good is at knowing what they've kept on the table and what they could pluck at any moment to sort of come back and be important.
I was going to say that I hope that the series ends and we don't even get the election. But then I heard on the podcast last night, you said the names of the episodes. It sounds like America Decides is... is coming. But so yeah. I guess my question is, okay, just to let me go back to the timeline. All right. We've spent five episodes.
We care about the timeline.
No, no. Well, let me just say this. We've spent about five episodes in season four that have covered roughly like maybe like we don't know exactly the time, but some roughly between like a week and 2 weeks. Are we at the end is only five episodes away? Is the end of Succession in the character's timeline? We don't need an exact time, but is the end of the show about 10 days away?
I mean, I do think so. I mean, one thing that I think tracks for that is the Snare Snook being pregnant. I do think mm-hmm. I think that they probably, yeah, I don't think we're getting another time jump.
Yeah, we'll never meet the baby.
I don't think we're meeting the baby. I don't think her having the baby is a story. Whether who she tells that she's having a baby, I think mm-hmm. is important, but I don't think we're getting the baby. Mm-hmm. Unless the last episode, I think the
epilogue,
only place.
And they'll name the baby, yes. Logan.
I have predicted this for so, when we got the end of season three and Logan is drinking the green smoothies, I did say, I thought the end of the show is we're going to get a Logan Jr. That's been my prediction for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the only place that we might get a time jump is either the last episode is set pretty far in the future, or we get an epilogue at the end of the episode.
I don't think we go far into the future. I wonder.
Well,
if
that's because you think that the world is ending.
Well, I've come down off that because I feel like that would have been fun in a universe where Logan Roy survives. Yeah. But I feel like to do that in, you know, have the panic room and the, you know, bomb shelter, fallout shelter, and without Logan, I feel like doesn't play.
Okay,
it's a little wonky.
We're halfway through. It's a good point. You know, I think you're right. I don't think we have much more than a couple of weeks left on the in the Succession calendar. There was a lot of people when we did the wrap up show on Sunday night. A lot of people in the chat really concerned about the SEC violations, which I think are nothing. I think they're absolutely nothing.
Am I even watching the same show as you people? Well, we got five episodes left, Jesse. We got to make sure we're going to tell a story about SEC violations. That's the story.
They did promise
these episodes, and they're going to be about the SEC violations.
He always said that the first half of the show, he essentially has always depicted Succession as essentially an episode of Law and Order SVU, where the first half is the crimes, and the second half, I think we're getting full legal proceedings for the rest of the episodes, Rob.
Yeah.
But I think that there's two things on the board, and I'm interested to know your opinion. Is anybody else dying, or a la one of your favorite shows of all time, Seinfeld, is anybody going to jail to end the season? And I don't think it's the SEC violations, but I do still worry that the cater waiter is on the table.
I don't think anybody's going to jail. Again, I don't think that this is a show about like law and order. Yeah, it's not a show about consequences. I don't think that is like the story that Jesse Armstrong is trying to tell here about how like, oh, these like, because I think that look at the real world where, you know, the people that are like how many like people like who are supposed to be the real life inspirations for the people on the show have faced any kind of consequences. It doesn't happen. So I don't think that would be what the show is trying to tell. I do think that there is a chance that Kendall can still die in these next five episodes. I don't feel like that is off the table. I feel like it's probably more likely than he has a happy ending. And
I know that thing of me being content. I think the only way for Kendall to be content is that he's dead. So I'm mm-hmm. I'm more and more every week being like, yeah, I think Kendall also dies.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm not going to say that. I'd say this is like 30% that I think he dies. But I think it's like 0% that he like reaches enlightenment.
Like, I don't want to spoil the end of Mad Men. I think I just spoiled the end of Mad Men.
I mean, I watched it and it was spoiled for me. This is so stupid.
We get that? What if he does? What if he comes? Maybe that's it. What if Kendall runs Coca-Cola at the end of that thing? I'm so sorry if you're like in the middle of a Mad Men rewatch. I do feel like the statute of limitations.
You could turn it off after a couple seasons. you're fine. We're doing you a favor.
All right.
Yeah, I do feel like that. it is interesting, the idea of potentially where Shiv starts like a new dynasty with a baby and Tom by her side. And like, I could see that potentially as sort of like, you know, an ending of like, okay, this is like the new effed up family that is going, the cycle is going to repeat itself.
I mean, I asked this on the deep dive, Rob, but why not just make the baby the CEO?
It's never been done. A boss baby?
Oh man, I guess it has been done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No Fortune 500. We were talking the other week with Matt about whether Matt Huff about whether or not co-CEOs were a thing, and there's about 10 of them on the Fortune 500. No Fortune 500 company has a baby running it, and that could be the future.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the boss baby did have a lot of good business sense.
All right.
Well, yeah, I don't know ultimately where we ultimately get to. I do feel like that we do have a president elect and maybe we have like a little bit of like a maybe like to some degree we have like a like what have I wrought as like, you know. I do feel like that from like the super tease, like we see like mass protests going on. Uh-huh. But yeah, I don't know ultimately like where, I mean, it's wild to think we're halfway through the season.
Yeah. Well, I said this too. The other one I think that's plausible is them running something, which doesn't seem not going to be Waystar, but something big. And then there's like, okay, so what? So what? You did it. You're your dad now. Like, so what? You got nothing. Your dad was miserable. Your dad was yelling at the news like the night before he died. Like, who cares? There's nothing. It's pointless. Mm-hmm. I could see that, a bit of like futility and like, this is what you wanted? Really? This is what you got?
Mm-hmm.
Pointless. Yeah. Well, Rob, it has been so fun chatting with you about Succession season.
Yeah, it's well, I am a big fan of your work and your coverage on the show, so this was nice to get the chance to talk with you. You know, you're so in the weeds about this.
Yeah, maybe too much.
Yeah, I got my compression socks on and put on my noise canceling headphones to be here.
Yeah. Well, what else has happened on RHAP? What else are you doing?
You know, well, it's going to be back to another week of Survivor. But in addition to that, we had the opportunity that your friend of mine, Jenny Autumn, and I, do a little podcast called Hit or Quit, where we're bouncing around reality TV shows, trying to find the things that are hits and then quit the ones that ain't, you know what?
That's great. I love that.
Yes.
Sometimes
you ever
sometimes we like, I was talking with someone the other day, we're like, yeah, you end up watching a bad show and it's like, wow, this is really bad. Like Rich and I did all of Mayfair.
Oh, so you
Witches,
can relate
Rob.
To this, Grace.
I can relate.
Like, you take on so many podcasts and you're like, oh, I'm two episodes in and I hate this show.
This is not good, but yeah, we gotta do 10 more.
Like, well, then why do you podcast about it if you don't like it? Like, well, I didn't know. I didn't get to watch the whole show before I started the podcast.
That's right. Mayfair Witches, very fun podcast with Rich and I. The show,
Yeah. We're talking about a show called Jury Duty, which is on Freevee.
Yeah, what's up with Freevee? This is an Amazon Prime.
Freevee. Yeah, Freevee? I don't know. Like, what I need Kendall to give the stump speech for Freevee, but
not available in Canada.
Oh, I don't know how Jenny watched it, but anyway, so Freevee is it's like Amazon Prime, but it has commercials. I'm like, but I have Amazon Prime. It's like, no. You're still going to watch commercials. It's Freevee. It's basically like everybody that did the cord cutting, not like, you know, I did in the delivery room, which was fine that one time. But the like you it's like, oh, you thought you cut the cord and no commercials. It's like, actually, no, we're back. Commercials are back.
This is a mean trick that I don't know what's happening to streaming and shows are dropping like four shows and then like, but the rest is weekly, you know, it's, oh my God, it's too much. Mm-hmm. Figure it out.
Well, you got freaking Kendall and Roman running these companies. They don't know what people want.
So true.
Like, very well, the shareholders like it when we drop four episodes. That'll play.
Yeah. Whatever.
You know,
yeah.
It's the same old vibey type of, you know, TV with commercials. People like that. Feels good. It's familiar.
Rob, I'm committed now to finish the rest of the show where we're talking about what's going on in Africa. We got to see out the rest of the season.
That's how they get you.
All right. Anything else? Anything?
Yeah. Oh, so much. Just check it all out. Robiswebsite.com.
All right.
I'm sorry. I said Josh Wiggler was dead, everybody. But you got Scooby, dude. You should have seen the look on your face.
Yeah. All right. I'm talking Succession, obviously. Talking Yellow Jackets as well. Movies each week. Talk about Bo is Afraid, Rob. You heard about Bo is Afraid?
Bo is Afraid is a movie?
It's a movie.
That podcast started right after I finished listening to the other podcast you did.
Be careful. It's a very weird movie. It's an Ari Aster movie, same guy who did Midsommar and Hereditary. So it's very, very strange. But people should listen to the podcast just to hear Ariel say the words of the things that happened in the movie. I feel like that's worth it, I think. Also doing a Dark Rewatch podcast, and Ariel and I wrapped up Great Expectations this week. And then this Saturday, Rob, we're going to do another RHAP game night. We're going to play Settlers of Catan with quite a crew. I think we have 3 Survivor players and 3 RHAP podcasters. We're going to do a 6-player game, so I'm very excited about that. Should be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Catch it live on twitch.com/RHAP.
Yeah. Grace, well, thank you for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you. Make sure everybody is subscribed to get all the Succession coverage. PostShowRecaps.com/Succession. Join us live after the episodes on YouTube.com/PostShowRecaps. There's a Versus pod with LT and Jess this week, and a wrap-up show with Jess and Mike Bloom and maybe Josh Wiggler, although I heard he's dead. And you can get all of that and more commercial-free at Patreon.com/PostShowRecaps. So I guess we'll see everybody next week. Josh will be back. With you, Rob. All right. Until next time, F off. Is that what he says? Is that how he ends the pod?
I guess so.
I don't know. I don't know how he ends this one.
R to the OB and Josh Wiggler talking about Succession. One podcast per week. See? R to the OB and Josh Wiggler talking about Succession.